called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham got as far as Haran and then stayed there until Terah, his father, died. And then that was his interruption. And then he finally went into the land that God had showed him. But if Abraham was a friend of God, and if God wanted to spend that time with Abraham, what happened between Abraham dying and Abraham actually getting to be in the presence of God? And that's the interruption we're going to look at tonight. That's our final interruption, and the interruption is Abraham in, I said hell in the bulletin, some people say Hades, but we'll explain a little more now, because I don't really think, oh, well, Abraham must have been lost because he was in hell. We'll explain now. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, and that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he saith, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went up them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, we thank you for this day, for this time together tonight, and for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, we pray you would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. We pray you would give us the encouragement that we need to keep living this life of a believer in such a dark and difficult day. We pray that you would, again, restoke the fires of our souls, Lord, that we first felt when we initially got saved and were on fire for the Lord, and maybe those fires have started to dwindle to just a smoldering ember. So, Lord, we ask for a restoking of those flames tonight, Lord, in our hearts, that we might serve you with such fervency that the world might see that there's a difference in our lives, that they might be convicted by the way in which we act, the way in which we react, the way in which we talk, and the way in which they can see Christ through us. Father, we pray that you would help us to be the witness we need to be in such a dark and difficult day. And Father, as we come around this period of interruption in Abraham's life, the time that he spent here in Hades, we pray that you would help us to see all the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, that we might be saved from the torments of a place called hell, and that our home might be a place called heaven. So, Father, we just prayed you'd speak to our hearts tonight, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. It's interesting when we come to this passage of Scripture, most people like to say that this is a parable, but whenever the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of a parable, he said, I speak unto you a parable. And he would say things like, the word of God is like unto. And then he would describe something physical to explain something spiritual. And parables have been described as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But the Lord doesn't say there was a place like unto. He says there was a certain rich man. There was a place called Abraham's bosom. There was a place called hell. You know, oftentimes people say, ah, well, I don't think that when we get to heaven, we'll even recognize anybody. If the rich man in hell could look across and recognize who Abraham was, having never seen him, I can promise you this, when we get to glory, we will recognize the people that have gone on before us. And sometimes we often focus upon the hell side of this story. We often focus on the fact that, you know, the rich man was in hell and he was tormented, and even though he said, look, send somebody to my five brothers, and we use it as a gospel message, and that is good. You know, we want to warn people from the dangers of hell. We want to warn people about the reality of hell. You know, I've heard the most insane comments from people who say, oh yeah, but hell is where all the fun stuff takes place. I'm going to be down in hell and I'm going to be partying with everyone in hell because that's where all the fun people are. There's no alcohol in hell. There's not even any water in hell. You won't be partying. You will be tormented for eternity. And you choose to go. Nobody forces you to go. God isn't vindictive enough to say, ha ha ha, I don't like you, so you will go into hell. No, no. You choose to go to hell by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rich man had everything in this life. Lazarus had nothing in this life. And yet, after death, Lazarus had everything that eternity could offer, and the rich man had nothing but torment. But this is not the eternal place. Where the rich man is being tormented, that is not where lost people will spend eternity. And I'm not preaching anything heretical here, because in Revelation chapter 20, it says that death and hell gave up the dead, and then they stood before the great white throne judgment, and then after that judgment, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So hell is a temporary place of torment until the great white throne judgment, where the lost will then be cast forever into the lake of fire. So just like hell is not the eternal place of torment, neither is Abraham's bosom an eternal place. It was a temporary place. It was a holding place, if you like, until the price for sin had been paid for. Abraham's bosom was the place that everybody went who had faith in God. By faith, Abraham was justified. And Abraham's bosom was the place that everyone went prior to the cross of Calvary. Because people say, well, how were people saved in the Old Testament? Exactly the same way that people are saved in the New Testament, by faith. By faith, he's saved through grace. It's a gift of God, not of man. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we recognize now, after the cross, if we were to die now, those who know Christ as their Savior, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So who went to Abraham's bosom? All of those who died in faith before the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:4 says, but it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So none of the sacrifices that were made in the tabernacle or the temple ever took away sins, but sin was covered until the next time. But then Hebrews 10:1 says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers there unto perfect. They could not be made perfect until Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. They could not enter into the highest place of heaven and into the presence of God until sin had been dealt with once and for all. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So Abraham could not enter into the presence of God. Remember now, he was a friend of God. That's what we saw last week. God called him from Ur of the Chaldees, and God wanted to show a place. God wanted to bless Abraham, wanted to bless his offspring, wanted to make his offspring as the number of stars in the sky and sand upon the shore. And he was a friend of God. And yet Abraham wasn't allowed to go into God's presence after death. Not until the atonement had been made. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:8, it kind of gives us the geography in that Luke chapter 16. We see that those here in hell could lift up their eyes into Abraham's bosom and see them. And likewise, Lazarus and Abraham could look across that gulf and see those who were suffering in the torments of hell. The geography was very close by, and we believe the scripture that hell is in the center of the earth. Ephesians 4:8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. What's he talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ entered into Abraham's bosom and took everybody that was justified by faith before the cross of Calvary and led them out of that paradise part of Abraham's bosom and up into heaven to be with the Lord. Now he that ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So, where did the Lord Jesus Christ go during those 3 days? We preached on this a couple of years ago and talked about the time he spent in those 3 days. He went to Abraham's bosom. He went to lead captivity captive. He went to preach to the spirits in prison. I said last week how we were in a bit of a better position than Abraham, because we have the complete revelation of God's word in our hands. We have the Old and the New Testament in our hands, so we can kind of understand all that took place. But the Old Testament characters didn't have the complete revelation of Scripture. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as we can see the crimson thread of Calvary running right the way throughout the Bible, God revealed to the Old Testament saints bit by bit more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't believe that Eve knew the name Jesus when God gave her the promise that her seed, even though his heel would be bruised, that her seed would crush the head of the serpent. Eve didn't know the name of that seed. So what happened to Abraham and the rest during this time of interruption between death and going to heaven? Throughout the ages, Abraham, Noah, Adam, Eve, Seth, Job, all gathered in that place. And every time the door would open into Abraham's bosom, every time the door would open into paradise, maybe they waited with bated breath to see if there was news from up on earth about what was taking place with this promised seed that was given to Eve. They weren't just interested in those coming into the doors, they were excited. Because more and more they would get to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. They anticipated the day when the doors would open and the one who'd been promised the seed that would crush the serpent's head himself would walk into paradise and lead captivity captive. And you can see them talking. You can see that Abraham is there with Adam and Eve and speaking with Noah, and maybe Abraham is wondering if everything is okay with his family up there on earth, and all of a sudden the door opens. And Isaac says, Jacob, is that you? Oh, Dad, what a joy it is to see you. Oh, I can't believe that I'm here. And what a blessing it is to see you. And you can see the family gathering together and they're hugging on one another. And Abraham and Sarah came up to Jacob and they say, is the next generation okay? Have there been any more promises given? And Jacob says, oh, Dad, thank you so much for my name. I know trickster's probably not the best name to be given on the planet, but even though I lived up to that name, kind of glad you gave it to me. But one day, Dad, there was this man. And this man wouldn't let go of me. And I wouldn't let go of him. And I knew that as long as I held on to him, that he would bless me. And I did. And Dad, guess what happened? He changed my name. He changed it from Jacob, from trickster, from supplanter, to Israel. One who strives with God, a prince of God. God is thriving. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Dad, God prevails. Oh, and Abraham and Noah and Adam and Eve, they're all excited because they know God's work is going to continue. And many years pass by. And many people come into that room and nobody leaves. And one day the door opens. And everybody turns and there is somebody robed all in this grand regalia. And they're like, is this him? Is this the one that we've been waiting for? Are you him? And the man robed in purple says, no, I'm not him. My name's David. Let me tell you what's going on up on earth. Oh, Abraham, is that you? Abraham, guess what? God not only promised to give you a nation, God's given you a kingdom. And I just happen to be one of its kings, and it's just incredible what God is doing. And even though he said you would have a nation as mighty as the sands on the shore, and as you would have a nation as mighty as the stars in the sky, your kingdom is flourishing and growing, and you don't just have a nation, you have this kingdom, and it's such a privilege to be a king upon earth. But Nathan told me that we were going to be able to build a house for God. And God tasked me with gathering all of these things, cedars from Lebanon and gold and minerals. And God is going to have a temple on earth. And all of our people, your people, Abraham, are going to worship God. Oh, that's wonderful. And then you can see Job speaking up and saying, well, that's great. I understand there's a temple. That's lovely, the fact that there's a temple. And that's lovely, but I know what it's like to kind of lose a building or two. The temple is great, but what about him? You see, I knew that my Redeemer liveth, but what about him? Has he come yet? Is he there on earth? What do you know? And David says, well, Job, something the Lord told me that he was going to happen. He's going to come from my tribe. He's going to come from the tribe of Judah. And he's going to rule and reign with a scepter of righteousness. For when that king comes, nothing will be able to overcome him. God promised me that the throne that had been set up in my name, that it was going to be established, the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Nothing can go overcome him. And they're all excited, and they're all rejoicing, and they're all clapping and hugging David, and they're so happy to hear about God's victories, the victories over Goliath, and the victories over Israel's enemies, and how the kingdom had grown. About that time that they're rejoicing, the door opens and another man walks into the room. And all eyes turn to him, and he is rough and ready. He looks a bit of a mess, but he comes into the room and they wonder who this was. And as they begin to inquire, he says, I was a prophet of the Most High God. I've heard about this place, but I've seen an even better place. What? Better than this? Better than Abraham's bosom? Better than paradise? Oh, he said, I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. And Isaiah said that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, and there were angels swarming all around him, and they were seraphim with wings, and with twain they covered their faces, and with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly, and they cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I've seen it, Abraham. I've seen it, David. It's real, and he is worthy. And I fell down on my face, and I said, Lord, I am not worthy. I am a man of unclean lips. But he called even me, and he used me to teach the people about God's word. And they all gathered around Isaiah with great excitement. We know from David that this kingdom will last forever. And we've heard about his throne room and all its glories. But can you tell a little bit more about him? And then Isaiah's face drops. I said, you're not going to believe what I've got to say next. What? What's he going to be like? Oh, it's not what he's going to be like. It's what's going to happen. He's going to be rejected. What? What do you mean he's going to be rejected? That doesn't make any sense. He can't be rejected. Yes, he's going to be rejected. The word of the Lord came to me and said, he is despised and rejected of men. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And David said, no, no, no. That can't be. Because he's going to be a king. And Isaiah said he might be a king. But he's going to go through a lot before he gets to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, God told me that we will hide our faces from him. God told me that he will be despised and the people will esteem him not. But that doesn't make sense. That can't happen. How can that happen? Our Lord reigns and he's going to rule over a kingdom for eternity. So that just doesn't make any sense. Isaiah says, but he'll be oppressed. He'll be afflicted. He won't open his mouth. He's going to be brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And just like a sheep is dumb before his shearer, even he is not going to open his mouth. There's silence and confusion. And then they said, but he's our king. He's the anointed one. He's the promised seed. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Why? Now Isaiah says you're not going to understand this at first, but it's going to please God to bruise him. And then Eve speaks up and says, what did you just say? Isaiah said it's going to please God to bruise him. But that's the same word that God said to me, that even though the seed would crush the serpent's head, that his heel would be bruised. Isaiah looks at them and says, he's going to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is going to be upon him. And listen to this. By his stripes, we will be healed. With sorrow and with expectation, they await the coming of the promised one. And then the door opens. Micah comes in and says, guess what? Guess what I've just heard? The one that we're waiting for, the promised one, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And David pipes up and says, ha, that's my place. Jesse's standing in the corner going, oh, that's my boy. I know Bethlehem, that's where my fields are. And Micah says, yeah, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. And they're talking amongst themselves, and Abraham is excited because of the promises that have been made to him, and David is talking with Noah, and Noah's talking with Job, and Job is talking with Adam and Eve, and they're all talking together, just excited because all of this seems to be starting to piece together. And then the door opens. Somebody walks in with such a grin on their face. He just looks different from everybody else. He looks like he's seen something that nobody else has ever seen before. And everyone said, why are you so happy? He said, my name's Simeon. And I think you ought to know something about me. God gave me a promise. It was revealed to me by the Holy Ghost that I should not see death before I had seen the Lord's Christ. And I've seen his face. I've seen the face that spoke the universe into existence. I've seen the hands that flung the stars into space. I've seen the one that has come to set his people free. I have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I have seen the one who is the king for us. I have seen him. And then the door opens. And this wild man comes in. I mean, he's the scruffiest looking guy on the planet. I mean, next to David in his royal attire, this guy dressed in camel's hair is like, what is going on with this wild man? And they say, are you him? He said, really? Do I look like him? I'm not even worthy to unloose the latchets on his shoes. I'm not him. But I've proclaimed him. Oh, I saw him. I was baptizing in the Jordan one day, and I saw him coming over the hill. And after I baptized him, the Lord said, you know who it is when the Spirit descends upon him. And I proclaimed him to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. You wouldn't believe what he's doing up there. You wouldn't believe the prophecies that he's fulfilling up there. Isaiah, remember all that stuff you said about the blind seeing? And yes, he said, well, he's doing exactly that. You won't believe what's going on. This is the one that's going to take away the sins of the world. Right at that moment, the door opens and this disgruntled guy comes in. just pacing back and forth, pacing back and forth, pacing back and forth. And they're like, what's the matter with you? Oh, I can't believe this. This is just not fair. I can't believe it. What's the matter? My friend didn't come. My friend didn't come. I can't believe he didn't come. And they said, what's the matter? There I was, on my deathbed. And I said to my sisters, girls, go and get my friend. And he didn't come. And here I am. Well, who was your friend? His name was Jesus. Simeon said, Simeon, what was the baby's name that you talked about? And then Isaiah jumps in and said, he is going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And John the Baptist said, yes, but that was a little bit of a mouthful, so they changed it to Jesus. Because he would save his people from their sins. Just at that time, there is this almighty, thunderous voice, Lazarus! And with that, he's gone. John the Baptist says, that's him. That's his voice. That's his voice. That's him. John the Baptist, prophet of the New Testament, is there talking with the prophets of the Old Testament, and they're talking about the miracles and the prophecies and all that they've seen and all that they've heard so far. And as they're talking, the door doesn't open much, it just opens with a little creak. This man kind of sticks his head around the corner like he doesn't really belong. And he's battered. And he's bruised. And he just looks so out of place. He is so confused as to what's going on. And Abraham's seen his fair share of rough-looking people in his day. So he comes up to him. He puts his arm around him. And he tells him to come in and sit down. And David, as a servant's heart goes off, and grabs a glass of water and brings it across to him. And he says, drink up. And with a trembling hand, the man takes the cup. And he starts to drink. And he says, where am I? And Abraham says, this is paradise. And Daniel comes over and says, well, how did you get here? He says, to be honest, I'm embarrassed. I'm a malefactor. I was a thief upon a cross, and I was just a sinner, but there was this guy beside me, and I began to mock him, and I began to ridicule him, and then something started to change inside me, and I realized that I was on this cross because of what I had done. I was on this cross justly punished for my crimes, but this man had done nothing wrong. This man was completely innocent. Above the cross, there was this placard which said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And I just said to him, Lord, remember me. I'll never forget that look in his eyes. I'll never forget the love that he had in those eyes. He said, you'll be with me in paradise. Is he here? Abraham said, no, he's not here. But the man spoke up and said, well, that doesn't make sense, because he said, today I would be with him in paradise. And right at that time, the doors burst open and the Lord Jesus Christ walked in and said, I'm here to tell you, it is finished. This sin debt has been paid for once and for all. My blood has been shed for the sins of the world. And I'm here to lead captivity captive. I'm here to take you up to the glories of heaven because of the price that was paid upon Calvary's cross. How incredible that the Lord Jesus Christ said that he was the door. Can I say to you today that he is the door? You can't get to heaven but by him. There's no way to circumvent and find your own way. There's no way to earn your way. There's no way to pay your way. There's no way to be good enough to go. You have to go through him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. He is the door. He is the way. He is the true vine. He is the resurrection and the life. He's the good shepherd. And it's only by him can we ever hope to get to glory. You see, we can't ever be good enough to go. We can't ever earn a place. If you were here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then you are without hope. Nothing this world has to offer will you be able to take with you, and nothing that you have in this world will do you any good in the world to come. You will go to one of two places. If you died right now, you'll go where the rich man still is, in his torments, in hell. Or the other side, the gulf across paradise, Abraham's bosom is now empty. But the rich man's still there. But this part of paradise has been led to the glories of heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you die without Christ, then you'll go to where the rich man is. And one day the Bible says death and hell will give up the dead, and you will stand before the great white throne judgment. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. There's no parties in hell. There's no abundance of alcohol in hell. There's no abundance of sex, drugs, and rock and roll in hell. There's nothing but torment for all eternity. Why would people choose to go? Why would people willingly accept that and say, well, I'll take my chances? What? People are stupid enough to put a pound or however much it is now on the lottery with a 1 in 15 million chance of maybe winning £65. And yet they'll risk a 50-50 bet of heaven and hell. What? Are you out of your mind? Hell is a very real place. God created hell for the devil and the fallen angels. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I ask you tonight, do you know him as your Savior? If you don't, why take the risk? Why would you risk going to a place of torment? They don't have any fun in heaven. I can promise you this. From other scripture says, there's not a lot of fun going on down in hell. Christ paid the ultimate price for our sins so that we could be set free. If you don't know Christ as your Savior tonight, can I just encourage you to put your faith and trust in him? Admit that you've sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Believe that Christ died upon the cross for you. Confess your sins to him and confess him as Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a blessing it is to know that whatever happens to me after this life, I know I'll be in the glories of heaven. What a blessing to know that all my loved ones that have put their faith and trust in Christ, one day I'll get to see them again. And I'll recognize them. Just as the rich man recognized who Abraham was, I'll recognize my loved ones in glory. And what a day that will be when our loved ones we will see once again, and we'll be able to praise him together for all eternity because of the price that was paid at Calvary. Father, thank you so much for this day and for this time together tonight. Father, we just ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts this evening. We thank you for all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And Father, we just pray that if there's anyone here tonight in this building or listening online that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, that tonight would be the night that they would call upon his name. Father, salvation is a free gift. It doesn't cost us anything, but it cost you everything when you died upon that cross. So Father, would you just speak to hearts tonight? Help those of us who are saved recognize the fact that we have such an incredible Savior that was rejected for us, that he was bruised for us, that he was despised for us. His stripes have healed us and set us free. Father, we are eternally thankful for all that you've done for us. We just want to praise you tonight and give you all the glory. We love you so much. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together. And before we close in a word of prayer, just a reminder for those who are going to Israel, if I can see you after the service at the front of the church. And again, please don't rush off. Go down for a cuppa downstairs. If you've got any questions about your salvation, about your eternal security, please see me before you leave this place tonight. If you've got any questions about loved ones that have gone before, please come and see me. Any concerns, if we can help you with anything. And if you were here tonight and you need to trust Christ as your Savior, don't leave this place before getting that settled between you and the Lord. Amen. I wonder if Terry Sadler will close us in a word of prayer. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for the anointing that you give Pastor. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for his commitment to you. Mm-hmm. And we pray that that will just continue, Lord, that you'll anoint him and provide for him, Lord, as we go along and trust in you. Heavenly Father, we just pray now, as it's been said, if there is anyone who has any doubts at all about who you are, then, Lord Jesus, today, let that time come true. Let me come and speak to the Pastor. The elders here in the church, that it may be sorted. You are the only way to heaven. Lord, I don't want to think about hell. I don't want to go to hell. And Lord Jesus, we know that the narrow road is narrow. And Lord Jesus, that the highway to hell is getting wider every day. We live in a world that's fallen and broken. But Heavenly Father, we trust in you. We trust in you for the very breath we breathe, and for the loved ones we have around us who have gone before us, who have trusted in you, are in heaven waiting for us. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you've done in our life. Our Lord Jesus, we just pray to you, recommit our lives to you. Thank you.